Like I say, it's good to be here tonight. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't tired and I wasn't worn out. But we came out of a wonderful week of revival. I'm telling you, we really did. We seemed like we grew a little weary. I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't. We had felt like the whole week just heavy in there, the whole week. And we had one boy on our heart that we've known has been lost for quite a while and had been praying for him for quite a while, and just no emotion on his face during altar call or anything, and just didn't really know. And we just started to grow a little weary. I'll be honest with you, the preachers that was helping, I could tell Stephen was, and I try to send him scripture at night and encourage him and things, but I know where he stood as a pastor, wondering how could somebody not move. You know, there's no way that messages could be sent the way that they were and people turn and go out the back door and everybody in there was saved or just completely where they needed to be. And last night, the last verse, somebody else said something, it was going to be the last verse, and somebody else said something, that was going to be the very last verse, I guess. And a little girl came on out of the aisle and came down and got saved, and as soon as she got saved, another little girl came out of the aisle and came down. They was both just a little bit about the same age, and it was a blessing this morning. Somebody had requested to sing the Days of the Week song, and they got to stand up, and they went up to the choir this morning. They just started during the revival going to the choir, and they were sitting right next to each other, and they just had the biggest smile on their face. And I thought, boy, that's just good stuff. It really is. Just to see a young child that may get up and sing songs standing up on the piano, and they don't understand what they're singing. I'll be honest with you, they just now kind of remember the words. But that one day, that smile comes on their face, things are different. They understand what they were singing about. I appreciate that. And I was thinking about it. Sister Susan was talking about fearing God is a good thing. That's what she said. And I don't know why, but I've been thinking about that for about the last year, about fearing God. And I'll be honest with you, Randy, when I first got saved, I served God. I stood up and gave testimonies, and I did things for God because I was scared I was going to get a whooping. But those things change the longer that you serve God. See, I don't serve God or do things for God, and I don't even fear God because I'm scared of what God can do to me. I do them because of how good God's been to me. I have a fear of letting God down. That's what my fear of God has turned into, is that I'm so terrified that I'm going to fail Him for everything He's done for me. And that's a great place to be, I'm going to be honest with you. That's the same thing for my own fleshly father. It's not the whoopings that he'd take off with his belt. They'd hurt for a little while, but I'd just go on and do the same things. I'll be honest with you, that's just the type of kid I was. But when I did something so bad that my father didn't whip me, and he looked at me, that's what hurt the worst. That's what made me want to do right. That's the type of fear that we need to have of God, not to be feared of just getting whoopings and things. People always say that. I don't want to go home and total whooping. But I'll be honest with you, I'm too scared that if I don't say what God wants me to say, that somebody else may not be able to move because I didn't do my part. It happened even just during this revival. I'm just going to take my time tonight. I'll be honest with you, I'm so full from this week. I've got so many thoughts in Scripture. I really don't even know what I'm going to preach. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. But we're going to have to get there. But I'm just going to take my time. But I even thought about this week. There was one night, and ever since we started pastoring, things got different. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't ever think it would, but things got different. When we were a lay preacher, I'd shoot up off that pew as fast as I could and be ready just to charge the whole thing. Myself, just ready to just, the Lord laid something on my heart, here we go. But when I started pastoring, I started realizing how much I needed to wait on the Lord. And I'm young, and I ain't been saved that long in different things, and I don't want nobody to mistake that I don't have zeal anymore things. Somebody told me that not too long ago. They said, you're a lot more quiet than you were. I said, well, I started waiting on the Lord a whole lot more. And that's where we need to get to. We really do need to wait on the Lord. This week I had something laid on my heart, and I really felt like I needed to stand up and say it, and I didn't say it. And about, I don't know, they sang one verse, two verses, and Dillard stood up right behind the piano and said exactly what was on my heart. And I thought, there went my blessing. Now, I appreciate Dillard saying what he said because it blessed me, and I'm sure it blessed others, but we need to just do whatever God wants us to do. We really do tonight. And like I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't got a title. Don't even know what scripture exactly we're going to read. We got a long way to cover, I guess, if everything that's on my heart. And I don't even know how to preach this, so we're going to really lean on the Lord. He's never let us down. I thought we had a thought we had a way we were going to go. And we started reading more and started reading more. And we might have read ourselves into a hole, I'll be honest with you. But y'all just going to have to bear with us. I don't know. I just feel good tonight, I'll be honest with you. If y'all was in the place I promise we could shake hands and go home right now and I'd be fine. I really would. I just feel good tonight. I really do. I felt good all week, but I needed these past two revivals that we've been in that we seemed like we got to go the whole week, the one down at New Hope and down at Stoner's. I think Stephen even said it was down there. He said it felt like old times, and I don't have old times. I just got the last 4 or 5 years we've been in this way. But it felt normal again, at least a little bit of normal. And it just felt like people just didn't worry about everything that was going on in the world and find excuses for us to not have to be in church. It seemed like people just came because they wanted to see people get saved. And I appreciate that. That's the place that we need to get into. It really is. But I don't know how to start this. I really don't. Y'all going to have to pray for us. I really don't even know if I want to give you a scripture. I've been thinking a lot about working, I guess, and it sounds like Brother Randy's been touching on the same thing. Sound like that's what he talked about Wednesday night or Sunday morning, whatever it was. But I've been thinking about having a mind to work, and we were sitting in Sunday school this morning, and Brother Stephen was teaching his lesson that he was, and it just seemed like it was going along with our thoughts. And so the vast scripture that I had already in my mind, Brother Stephen kind of shook my foundation up on it, and I ended up reading some more on that. And I started thinking about how much the children of Israel came through and where we're at today. And I thought about the good things that they did have, but the better way that we do have it today. And I know you've heard different things like that preached on many a times, but that's what I got tonight. I really do. And I thought about the destruction of Jerusalem that's taken place two different times throughout history. And I mean total destruction. There's been many times it's been besieged and attacked and taken over and taken back and different things. But I thought about the destruction that's taken place and the adversity and different things that they've had to come through, and we like to pin back on those that lived under the law, and seems like because we do live under the day of grace, we sometimes put the law beneath us and put the different things that happened at that time, but they were a resilient people. There was people that came through some adversity and was willing to serve God through some of the most adverse times throughout history. And I was thinking about that first destruction that took place, and King Nebuchadnezzar had besieged the city of Jerusalem there, and they had established the armies all the way around, and just in the scripture that we were kind of looking at even before that, he'd established King Zedekiah, and King Zedekiah was only 21 years old. And y'all going to have to pray for me, church. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know what we're going to preach, but we're just going to mind the Lord tonight. And I thought about that King Zedekiah, who's only 21 years old, that King Nebuchadnezzar had put there in place, and he was serving over Jerusalem. And as he continued to serve there, I believe it was 9 or 10 years or something. I may not have all the details right, but I know that he went to rebel and gained an alliance with Egypt, and King Nebuchadnezzar became even more angry about this, and I believe it even says in the 24th chapter in 2 Samuel that even God became angry over this situation, and we see that the people begin to grow perilous, and the famine becomes to grow worse and worse and worse, and finally King Zedekiah there, he decides to go ahead and get out of there, and he escapes by night and leaves with some of his army there, and he gets chased down, it said, on the plains of Jericho, and he's overtaken, and it says he's taken back to Babylon. It says his own sons were killed right in front of him, and then his eyes were plucked out, and that's where he remained in fetters and shackles until the day that he died. And I thought about in Zephaniah how the prophet had even seen these things that were coming down the road and gave a warning sign of things that were coming down the road, and now these things were coming to pass at this time of King Zedekiah and them being under besieged. And we know that as soon as Zedekiah, right after he gets killed and gets his eyes plucked out and his sons were killed, we know that King Nebuchadnezzar sends the armies in. They begin to break down the temple that Solomon had built, begin to break down the brass and the gold and all the different things that were inside the temple that were used for sacrifices and different things, and took all of the people there. And something important that I'll be honest with you, I didn't even realize today till Brother Stephen was teaching his message
is they didn't take all the people out of Jerusalem with them. They left the poor, the unlearned, the ones that were just the quiet little old farmers is the ones that they left alone and left them back. And they took all of the noble esteem. They took the Daniels, the Meshach, the Shadrachs, the Abednegoes. They took all of them back there into Babylon with them into captivity at that time. And that ain't the scripture. That ain't even the part of the story that we seem like we want to get to. But where I wanted to get to is that we know they've been in captivity. Everybody knows the story of Daniel in the lion's den. They know the story of Daniel interpreting different dreams and the writing on the wall with the king there. I believe it was Belshazzar. We know Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego all went down in a fiery furnace. But the story that I love the most out of all of that is when they're coming back in to be rebuilt Jerusalem. That's one of my absolute favorite stories there in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the point where they started to get to build those back. And I guess if I'm going to try to stay around a chapter or anything, I wanted to try to lay some foundation for you. That's where we're at. And I like to put myself in their place that my forefathers before me might have lived there in Jerusalem. They probably worshiped in that temple. They probably had lived in that community their whole life. And everything was destroyed and taken away. Imagine armies being around the outsides of your walls, of your gates, feeling so fearless and just absolutely terrified of not knowing what was to come and knowing that the only thing that you can do is cling to God and just trust in Him. But yet here comes the walls down and people begin to come through and your king has been killed and all of his sons had been killed and here comes the armies to besiege you and some are being taken, some are being left. It would be a terrifying time, Brother Randy, I'll be honest with you. But I appreciate all the stories that took place of Daniel and the different things at that time. But now we found ourselves with Nehemiah and he comes to the king there and tells him, oh king, can I basically go back and rebuild? And he gives them permission there. I don't think the king understood totally what his plans were at that time, but his plans were to go back and rebuild that city there, take back their own town again and relive there again. And as they come back there, there's a man there called Sanballat. And Sanballat, he was to withstand basically everything. He was kind of the overseer, I guess you could say. He was to make sure that whatever they were doing, everything was all right and hunky-dory, I guess you could say. But I thought about this scripture as it goes down, and we see that he starts to come through, and they start to rebuild everything, and that's what the whole chapter number 2 is. It starts in Nehemiah, and you can read that tonight. Chapter number 3, they start rebuilding everything, and chapter number 4 is finally when it becomes an issue to somebody. You see, the world today, they don't have much issue as long as we keep real quiet, as long as the church today just stays inside their four walls, and they don't, you know, preach against homosexuality, or they don't preach against things that are wrong or might offend somebody today, then they don't have any issues with it today. As long as it doesn't offend somebody, if you're talking about abortion or homosexuality or drinking or any kind of immortality today, then everything's just okay today. That's just the honest truth. It really is. But I love this scripture right here because no matter what happened in this situation, they were just having a mind to work. And that's what it says here in the scripture tonight. And I guess if we had a thought, that's what we'll say, I guess, is having a mind to work. And that scripture here, as it starts in, it says, "But when it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before..." Now, let me remind you here, he's already seen them build a lot of things, but when they started on the walls is when he started to mock them. It says that he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their wall, their stone wall." But listen to what Hezekiah, listen to what Nehemiah says right here. He says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And I guess that's the scripture that we'd like to try to stay around there. Can you imagine being in this situation and just being continuously every single corner that you've seemed to turn, that you seem like everybody's just against you today? I'll be honest with you, that's how I feel like a lot of the world is towards the church today. And I hear all these different people, well, we better be careful because the devil's trying to stomp it out. But thanks be unto God, the devil can't stomp out anything that God set in motion tonight, church. We ought to have a mind to work. See, they got up and started building these walls while they were mocked and made fun of. He even told them, well, you're going to go make some sacrifices. You're going to go build you some walls, fortify yourselves. Ain't that funny? Ain't that cute that that's what you're going to go and do? So them having a mind to work as they continue to go down. My favorite verse right there is verse number 9. It says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now, you know what they ended up doing this entire time? And I can relate to this. I'll be honest with you. I had to do the same thing in Afghanistan that they were doing at this time. It says that they found themselves, I believe, with a shovel in one hand or with something to work in one hand. It says in verse 17, it says, they which build it on the wall and they that bear burden, which those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other held a weapon. You want to talk about having a mind to work today? Imagine standing up there with a shovel or a pickaxe or a rope and pulling different things up, and you got to have your weapon nearby just to make sure that the enemy doesn't attack you at these certain times. I mean, these people were absolutely going out on faith and trusting God and even following Nehemiah. Sometimes it takes a man to get up and have the faith of a mustard seed to show us that we can also do the same thing. And that might not be good, but that's just how it happens sometimes. You ever been in a meeting seem like it was just dry as can be, and that little old lady in the corner just starts shouting? It runs all over everybody else. Thanks be unto God. I'm thankful today that that wall that was built, it took a brick by brick by brick, and that's exactly what they were building was a wall today. That's what we've got in the church today. Thanks be unto God. Each and every one of us make up a piece in the wall, and if we don't do our own job, the wall gets shaky today. We got a mind to work, or we got a mind to watch. I'll be honest with you. When I was 12, 13 years old, Brother Randy, my dad worked harder than anybody ever seen. My brother, he worked just as hard. We was building the house that my dad lives in now. We was helping him build and grade and clear trees and different things. Every minute I got, I went and sat on the truck. I'd hide. I'll be honest with you, I would. I didn't want to work hard. My brother and my dad, they'd be out there sweating, just busting it. I'd say, well, I'm thirsty, Dad. Well, I'm sleepy, Dad. I know that may seem silly. But we look around the church house today, I'll just be honest with you. We got some people that are kicked back, relaxed, and watching everybody else do the work. I'm just going to be honest with you today. And it don't matter what your job is. You ain't got to be the pastor. Ain't got to be a deacon. People say, oh, and just the lay members. Let me tell you something about the lay members. Hey, the people that helped build this wall that carried everything was the lay members. Nehemiah didn't build the wall by himself. The deacons and the pastor wasn't up there building the wall. It took everybody in the church to do their part to get some work done. Ain't the pastor's job, ain't the preacher's job, ain't the deacon's job. It ain't the lay member's job. You may clean the church, hold the doors, hand out a pamphlet, or just get the preacher some water. We've all got a job to do. You see, if you don't bring him water, he won't have none. If you don't clean the church, it'll be dirty. We've all got a job to do today. Having a mind to work. They built and they built and they built. Let me let you in on a secret here. They built it. They did. They came under persecution and siege many a times after that. Let me tell you about my favorite destruction that took place. There in 70 AD, the Romans came and besieged, and they sent Titus down to destroy the whole city there. I'll be honest with you, it seems a little worse than it did the first time. They say millions of people were slaughtered. The temple was destroyed. Women raped. Children murdered. Men took as slaves if they weren't murdered. Millions of people crucified, killed, just absolutely murdered. I'll be honest with you, it looked like some doom and gloom times. I'll be honest with you, it really would. Rome was taking over everything at that time. And he burned it all the way down to the ground. It's all throughout that Bible. It's clear as day that they destroyed it. Absolutely destroyed it.
Y'all remember a time that somebody told that that was going to happen? That it was going to be destroyed, rebuilt? This time it's going to be a temple not made with what? Not made with hands. That first time it took all of them physically carrying. Did the first time they built the temple. Took them physically carrying, setting them in place. When they rebuilt it, guess what they had to do? Physically put them in place. Thanks be unto God, He said, I was going to build one not made with hands. Boy, they think they're going to rebuild a temple over in Israel today and it's going to help something. They think when He comes back for a 1,000-year millennial reign that it's just going to, that temple's just going to help everything out. I've even heard stories that they're even breeding cows to get them a certain color just so they can make those sacrifices. Thanks be unto God. Are people not reading their Bible today, Brother Randy? Do people not realize that God made so many promises throughout these 66 books and He kept every single one of them? I mean every single one of them. I mean down to the jot and the tittle. Didn't forget one of them. Didn't say almost. Didn't say in a couple years. He said that they'll tell this generation shall not pass. He said now. He said the time is at hand. Yet 2,000 years later, we're all saying the same thing. Singing songs about one day after a while. When I get to heaven, let me tell you something today. I'm enjoying my salvation today. I'm just going to be honest with you. Let me tell you about a temple that He built. Let me tell you about that Jerusalem that He built today. Yeah, they might have got shovels and hammers and all these different things and built up a nice, beautiful city. You can get on a cruise ship and go all around Israel today and go see how beautiful it is. It probably really is real beautiful. But let me tell you something that I found out in 2013. I got a temple built on the inside of me that'll go with me the rest of my life. It's more beautiful than anything you can see from a cruise ship or an airplane. I'll be honest with you. There's some things in this life that's better felt than seen today. And that Jerusalem that He built on the inside of me, boy, it's good today, I'm telling you. I'm thankful that God had a mind to work. I'm thankful that He started building up that city and Rome did come in and destroy that thing all the way to the ground, because what He did is He built us a spiritual home that we can dwell in today that man can't touch today. I could have started in Acts and told you about how He built the church. But we need to remember where we came from. You know, when I announced my calling to preach, I announced my calling to preach at a premillennial church. That's what I did. I ain't saying that's what I am. I said that's where I announced it at. I read the Bible since then. When I announced my calling to preach there, there's a lot of things I didn't understand. I wanted to. I was ready to go. First time in my life I ever wanted to serve the Lord. First time in my life I ever wanted to sit in a church house. First time in my life, I'm honest with you, Brother Crafton, I even wanted to hear somebody get up and preach. And that's what they told me. They said, one day when the Lord comes back and raptures us, and they build that temple, and we'll get to come back, and He'll gather all the Jews together, and they'll spend eternity for a thousand year reign. And then the Lord would come back and gather us and take us into heaven. That's a long time. That's a long time. I'm just going to be honest with you. But see, there's something different, Brother Randy, that contradicted what they were telling me. You see, in 2013, sitting around a bonfire, I got down on my hands and knees and gave my life to God. I had something on the inside of me that wasn't 1,000 years away. There was something that I felt that I didn't understand what all I got. I'm just going to be honest with you, Brother Crafton. But thanks be unto God, as I got in this Word and I started hearing some good gospel preaching, started reading my Bible, and it let me know some things. It let me understand that God dealt with us now. He gave us what we needed now, and it wasn't a long, long, long time away. He destroyed my whole foundation. In about 5 minutes, Brother Randy, I built up walls that you ain't never seen before. I'll be honest with you. I thought I was fortified, thought I was safe, safer than anybody if you put me in the middle of Jericho, I guess. But I'm telling you, in less than 5 minutes, He tore every single one of my walls down. And I was standing there unguarded, unclothed, just absolutely naked in sin. I'm just going to be honest with you. Yeah. He let me know how small I was.
You want to see a fall? You should have seen what my heart went through. I'm telling you, I was 23 years old, I believe, and I mean absolutely bulletproof. Just served 2 combat tours. You couldn't tell me nothing. Boy, I paid my own car insurance. I was something big, Brother Randy. But one day when he pricked my heart and he tore me down into pieces and I felt the lowest I ever felt in my life, it wasn't but just a few minutes later, I was as high as I'd ever been in my whole life. I'm just going to be honest with you. He built something up on the inside of me. I like it. Brother Stephen calls it a temple on wheels. That's what we've got. A temple on wheels. That's what we've got. We've got a dwelling place. We've got a tabernacle. The book of Revelation says that a tabernacle of God is with men. Put that out somewhere in the future, Brother Randy. The tabernacle of God is with men. Is means currently. That means now, thanks be unto God. I'm thankful we've got Him now. Having a mind to work. If God's been as good to us as we said that He has, then why don't we serve Him that way? Now, I'm talking to each and every one of us. If we can honestly sit on the pew tonight and say that we've done everything we could possibly do for God, we all be lying to ourselves. There's always more than we can do. I appreciate what you said. I really do. The brother was that concerned that he wanted to make an acknowledgement just because he didn't have a song ready. Now, I'll be honest with you. Me sitting there, I thought, that's just something so small. But you know what? That's his job, Brother Randy. And that's what he takes seriously tonight. I appreciate when people fear God enough that they just don't want to let Him down. They don't want to let their church down. There's too many people today that says, well, I miss Sunday night. Sunday morning ain't that big of a deal. Everybody knows you got the same. Everybody knows. And you know what's sad about it, Brother Randy? I wonder if the same thing in biblical times happened, if they had Sunday morning service, Sunday night service. I wonder if Sunday morning service was the big old crowd and Sunday night was the much more dense, we'll say. That sounds politically correct. Much more dense, I guess. I wonder if it was the same way or that's something that man established. Boy, well, I went this morning. I got to be covered. Got to be good. Can you imagine only going to the temple one time a year to make sure your sins were forgiven for with a sacrifice? I can't. I need Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, Brother Crafton. I need revival all week long. I really need to be there in the morning and the evening to make sure I'm doing what I need to be doing. People that come on only Sunday mornings, I'm going to be honest with you, they got to be better Christians than me because I can't do it. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to throw another log on my fire every now and then. I don't care how many people comes in the church house. I'll be honest with you, I don't. I don't care. I just want to be around people that actually want to be there. Yeah. Having a mind to work. Let me tell you something, though. I was thinking about this all week this week. You know how many people say, well, if you want to get saved, you're going to have to make up your mind. People say that all the time. They say, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're just going to have to make up your mind. Let me tell you something. Your mind ain't got nothing to do with it. Your mind will deceive you. I thought, listen, Jesus can be on your lips and He can still not be in your heart. That don't cost you nothing. Let me tell you something. That man, I believe his name was Simon, that got underneath the cross and helped Jesus carry it all the way up to Calvary, don't mean he was saved, and he probably got blood on from Jesus. He probably had physical blood on him. He probably did get tired and weary, and he toted a cross up to Calvary like we always say. But it don't mean that he was saved, Brother Randy. Let me tell you something. You may sit in church your whole life. You can be as close as you want to and still not be saved. You see, this thing about salvation is the most serious thing that anybody could ever take part in. Salvation is not something that's just worth, well, everybody else may see me. They may see the condition that I'm in tonight. Let me tell you something. That city I'm talking about, that Jerusalem, that new Jerusalem that came out of heaven is what the book of Revelation says. Like a bride adorned for her husband that we get to take part in, that we get to live in today. Thanks be unto God, we get to dwell in it today. I get to be a citizen of that country. I don't need a visa. I don't need a passport. I ain't got to apply for no green card. Thanks be unto God, when you get saved, it says you're a child of the King. That's one of my favorite songs in that book. His royal blood flows through our veins. I don't think we realize sometimes what we are when we really get saved.
having a mind to work. But you better make your heart up with who you're serving. Your heart is the most important thing in your body. The most important thing. Pushes all the blood all the way throughout your body. The most important thing. If your heart fails you, if any other organ fails you, they can try to do their absolute best to try to get somewhere. But if your heart stops, the oxygen, the blood, everything is dead. It's the most important part. Let me ask you a question. You ever heard of somebody having heart cancer? I ain't never heard of it. It might be something, but I don't ever hear nothing. It's the most important part, the most central focused of your body. And that's what God uses symbolism to say where He dwells. Can you think about that? The most center, most important part of your body is where God uses symbolism to replicate that that's what He is living in. Saved your soul. Like I told you, I don't know where this is going. I don't know if you got anything out of this or not. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm glad today. I'm glad that I don't have to sacrifice a bull or a goat or a ram. I'm glad I don't have to take my little girl up on top of a mountain to show God that I've got enough faith to serve Him today. I'm glad I don't live in those days. I hold those men in such high regard. In Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it is, I call it the wall of faith. When you go down reading all those men, I hold them in such high regard. You got to think today. These men went through something without having what we have. They didn't have the day of grace. They didn't have a leather-bound, nice, well-kept, well-printed scripture. They're reading off of old scrolls. Think about that poor eunuch sitting on that chariot. Well, how can I understand it if a man doesn't explain it to me? Think about what they went through. Think about what we've got today. How many excuses that we make. When that little girl got down there, it's one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life, even though I was so happy. That first one that went down there, she stayed down there for about 20, 25 minutes, I guess. And I was just watching her face, and she was just shaking. She was just terrified, but you could just tell she was being dealt with. But she just didn't know what to do. And you want to go down there with her, and you just want to do it for her, Brother Randy. I believe Cindy even said that last night. She said, I just want to do it for her. And she sat there for a minute, and Brother Earl came off the bench over there. And anybody that's been around Brother Earl when he gets in the altar, there ain't many of them like him. He got down in there and he just told her, he just said, just tell him what you want him to do. That's it. Just tell him what you want him to do. She said, I can't pray it for you, but I'll pray with you. He said, but just tell him. And she sat there for a few minutes and she just kept sitting there crying and she just didn't know what to do. And he said, you're going to have to get down to business and ask him if you want him to save you. She bowed her little head over there. In about 2 or 3 minutes, she came up with the biggest smile on her face. I'm thankful sometimes we might need to be pushed sometimes to do what God wants us to do. And I told him the other night, I said, you know what? And it ain't as fun. It ain't as fun being in the valley. I'll just be honest with you, it ain't. But I love the valley more than I do the mountaintops. Sure, they're great and it's beautiful down there. But you want to know something? You learn the most about yourself when you're in valleys in life. In the hardest times in your life, you're going to find out exactly what you're made out of. And they told me the whole time, well, I was going through basic training in my unit and I'd already been to Iraq, but well, I thought that I had it all figured out. I told you, I was 22 years old and I knew everything, Brother Crafton. But when I went to Afghanistan, they said, Afghanistan's different. I said, I'll be all right. I remember when I got there, I found out what I was made out of, and I wasn't as strong as what I thought I was. But let me tell you something about the valleys. You know, I went through that whole deployment that whole time, and even a little bit after that, lost a couple real good buddies. Seen a couple real good buddies get shot and not know if they was going to live when they got taken out. Didn't know what was going to happen to them. And I didn't have the Lord. I didn't have nothing to lean on. You know what I wanted to do? Get on Facebook or get on Skype or something and call my wife, call my mom. But I still wouldn't even tell them what was going on. I had nobody. I had a couple of other people there that I could talk to, but it didn't make me feel no better. And that time in my life, I realized how much I had absolutely nothing. I've told you before, I wished I could say I went and hit an altar and got saved. But let me tell you something else. I hit the next hardest time of my life. I was 26, 27 years old. My mom had had cancer for 2 years. She took her last breath in the hospital there in Floyd County on June 2nd, 2008.
2018. I found out a lot about myself. I was a licensed preacher. Love to tell you, boy, I just opened up the scriptures and just read right there in the corner. I'll be honest with you, Brother Randy, I was mad. A little angry, I'll be honest with you. But you know what I had this time? I had a foundation. I had a rock that I was on at that time. And I might have trembled, but he never did. I prayed and I called upon him many a times for just peace. I remember driving to my dad's house by myself in my truck and just crying. I was playing Beulah Land. Y'all was singing it. I was listening to Beulah Land, just crying my eyes out, not knowing what I was going to do. And the sweetest peace came over me. How's that last verse go? That standing there at the water where faith will end in sight. And I was thinking, what am I crying for? My mama's been enjoying what I've been preaching since she was about 7 years old. You see, eternity starts when you get saved, not when you take your last breath. See, you get to enjoy your salvation when you get saved, not when you take your last breath. And I thought, she's better off than I am. What am I? She's probably crying for me. And I remember me and my dad and my brother sat there by our casket at the funeral by the graveside. We sat there and we had family members and friends and they'd come by and every single one of them say the same thing. Say, how are y'all holding it together? I wasn't. You see, well, I learned that if I give it all to God, He's got it. He said, cast all your burdens to me. Every single one of them come by and say, I don't know how you just not crying and just holding it together so well. I just sat there thinking, how do you not know? How do you not know? My own family. I've had to stand and preach over my, in the same year, had my mama's funeral, had my great or my aunt's funeral, had my grandfather's funeral, and then just a few months later, my grandmother that was married to my grandfather, she died. Had to do her funeral too. Had not done many funerals. Brother Randy probably knows, these men that's preached knows. It's a hard thing to do, to stand over somebody's casket. It don't matter if you know where they're at. It's still a hard thing. A lot of responsibility on you. But if you didn't get anything out of tonight, you can enjoy it today. So we ought to have our mind to work. We ought to have our mind made up. We're going to serve the Lord. And we've went too far to turn back now. Y'all can get a verse of a song. Don't know if that was a message or not, but that's what my heart is tonight, is that we need to stop walking around the road as Christians, kicking cans down the road with our head down, hung low, just worried about everything that's going on in the world. Because if you've been saved by God's grace, you ain't got a reason to look down. He's done everything for us. Every promise He's ever made, He's kept. That's a guarantee.